No doubt, we're all concerned about one tragedy after another. Yes, the earthquake in Haiti took thousands of lives. The flooding in Tennessee took over 20 lives, and many homes and church buildings were lost. Wildfires out west, Ida hitting the Gulf Coast recently. And yes, the suicide bombings in Afghanistan, which killed 13 of our brave military defenders, and many of the Afghan people waiting outside the airport, and how many are still stranded. So we have much to pray about. There are many grieving, of course, over the loss of precious loved ones. And these current tragedies have brought again the age-old question to the forefront. Why would a good and all-powerful God allow suffering and evil to exist? Now, this is the atheist main argument. But you know, you should know, and I should know, that this argument is easily answered. God is love. 1 John 4, 8, verse 16. That is the answer to their feeble argument. God is love and allows us free will. God doesn't make us obey. He gives us the opportunity to choose to obey or disobey. And yes, there's suffering and evil in the world, but let's not ever blame God. And this is what we want to study this morning. God is not to be blamed. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. And as we strive to worship God, we're wanting to follow the New Testament pattern, thus in truth. But we also need to worship God in spirit with the proper attitude, John 4, 24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we're always glad to have opportunities for Bible studies. And yes, if you have Bible questions, please send those to us, your comments as well, positive or negative, so you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. Also, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. O-R-G. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we've entitled our sermon, God is Not to Be Blamed. Remember what Job's wife advised him? If he retained his integrity, then he should curse God and die. And how many today have the same mindset as Job's wife and blame God for their suffering? But God is not to be blamed, period. Man, in his ignorance and selfish desires, may blame God for his evil circumstances and for his own failures. But God is holy. He's just. He's perfect in every way. And we all should appreciate that. Yes, every one of us. Let's go now to Luke chapter 13 and notice verses 1 through 5 as we'll use this as our text. Luke 13, beginning in verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Notice that. Who did that? Pilate. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so God was not punishing those who died, but their death was allowed to happen. And so Jesus' lesson is for us today too. Yes, if we do not repent, we also will perish in the fires of hell for eternity. When the Lord comes again, we want to be prepared. Yes, be prepared to meet our God. Well, instead of blaming God, man needs to realize that disobedience to God is sinful, and that brings evil and suffering into the world. And let's notice now the result of the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in paradise. Man fell from paradise. Yes, and that caused suffering. And so we want to see now the results of that fall from paradise. Ignorance, yes, is a cause of suffering. All of us have been hurt by not knowing something was wrong. For example, drinking bad water. Well, there wouldn't be any bad water there in the Garden of Eden. What about eating contaminated food? Have any of us ever done that? Well, there wouldn't have been any contaminated food in the Garden of Eden. Well, these are several examples of this type of suffering. A mother can take medication which hurts her and her unborn child without knowing it was harmful. But that wouldn't have happened in the Garden of Eden. Well, let's go on. Here's another result of man's fall from paradise. Accidents are a cause of suffering. Luke 13:4, the Tower of Siloam fell by accident. 18 people were killed in that accident. And Jesus used that example to show that these people were not being punished by God's judgment. Job's friends thought he was being punished by God for his sins. Well, that wasn't true, was it? All of us have been hurt by falling, bumping into something, being cut by a sharp object. Automobile accidents can kill and injure people for life. Yes, and we all know of people, yes, sad to say, loved ones who have died from horrible accidents or have been severely hurt. Well, let's go on. Natural disasters. Yes, this is a result of man's fall from paradise, and this is going to cause suffering. Tornadoes. Ida, the hurricane, recently hit. The earthquake in Haiti. And then tidal waves have caused tremendous damage after earthquakes. The wildfires, as we've mentioned, and the local floods like in Tennessee, mudslides out in California a number of times, droughts, diseases caused by insects, microorganisms such as COVID-19, and other natural causes which can result in many deaths and suffering. And so this is, again, natural disasters, of course, have caused suffering. We're seeing that now. But go back to Genesis 7 and go through verse 11 through chapter 8, verse 14. The universal flood in the days of Noah was not natural, but the after effects have no doubt been the cause of the natural disasters that we just talked about. Think about that. Man's imagination was continually on evil, except for Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. 8 souls saved by water. But the rest of the world's population died in that universal flood. There was a cleansing, was there not? And so these three causes of suffering we just talked about, ignorance, accidents, and natural disasters, they can be temporary, they can be permanent, and yes, we can be careful and selective, maybe where we live, and avoid some of the disasters, that's true. It may help lower the rate of accidents, but it cannot guarantee us a life free of accidents, diseases, and disasters, can it? Well, of course not. So we are living in an environment in which we can freely accept or reject God's will. That's what we need to understand. And we need to remember life on earth is brief and uncertain, as James 4:14 tells us, as a vapor. It just appears for a little while and it's gone. It's no more. Life is brief, and we better be certainly making the most of the time we have, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Now, providing an ideal environment in which mankind can freely choose to obey or not to obey God means, yes, it means there will be specific conditions resulting in wrong choices. God has provided this ideal environment in which we live. We can freely choose to obey or disobey God. And that's going, of course, to set forth a situation where there can be wrong choices, obviously. So instead of blaming or criticizing God, why not be a solution to overcoming the problems of suffering? Remember in Judges chapter 6, verse 13, as Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us?" And then God challenged Gideon to deliver Israel from the Midianite oppression. Yes, after Gideon thinks, well, how can the Lord be with us if all this has befallen us? They were being oppressed by the Midianites. Well, they were being disciplined by God. They had brought it on themselves. But we know Gideon, of course, became a great leader. And with 300 men and God's working through them, they were delivered from that oppression. Now, the sins of others causes suffering. And we all see this. The sins of Pilate caused the innocent people to be killed there in Luke 13:3. What about Pharaoh? Remember how stubborn he was? 10 plagues brought upon Egypt. How many died because of his stubbornness? Yes, and King Herod, who had little children killed, yes, he thought his position was threatened, and it wasn't. Hitler, how many millions of people died at the hands of this tyrant, and other evil leaders we could talk about and go on and on. Yes, what about the terrorists today blowing up innocent people, children, babies? It doesn't matter to them. Yes, what about that? The sins of others causes suffering is the point. Drunk drivers, abusers of children, and persecutors of Christians all down through the years. So, sins of others, yes, causes suffering without question. But something else I want to point out here, the sins of Bob Hawkins causes suffering. My sins cause my parents to suffer and others. But the greatest suffering I have caused is that of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, my sins caused him to suffer on the cross. Are you ready to say that also? Well, it's the case, isn't it? as we know in Isaiah 53, yes, the suffering Savior. This was prophesied before Jesus came into the world, that he would be rejected and not appreciated at all. The lamb led to the slaughter. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That's right. Our Lord and Savior did this for us. He bore our sins on the cruel cross of Calvary. What does that mean to us? How do we react to the loving Savior and our Heavenly Father who allowed it to take place? This is the love of God, and no one should ever blame God. Period. That's not right, is it? Some people want to judge God, but they're not in the place of God to do the judging. No, they can't see all things. They don't know what all has taken place in the past, is going on now, and what's going to happen in the future, but God does. And God is all-powerful, and God is omnipresent, and God is just, complete holiness. And as we said, God is love. He's the very essence of love. God is light. And again, no one has the right to judge God. So, as we entitled this study, do not blame God. Yes, there's a lot of tragedies that are going on at the present time. And what is to come? We better be prepared for what is to come. More importantly, we need to be prepared for when the Lord comes again. We want to certainly not go unprepared to meet him. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. But that applies to us today. We need to be preparing to meet God on the day of judgment. So let's apply to our lives lessons to be learned from these present tragedies as our hearts go out to the family members who have lost loved ones. Perhaps you know of someone. We're all praying that their loved ones can get out of Afghanistan, or we're praying for the loved ones who are now homeless, and we're helping, of course, as we can, to send funds to congregations of the Lord's church who are helping, like in Tennessee. And so, yes, we can pray for them and send relief as we are able with opportunity. But this also can remind us all of just how important one precious soul is to God. And it should be to all of us. As we study Matthew 16, of course, 24 through 26, what is a man going to give in exchange for his soul? His soul's worth more than all the world, and you can't put a value on the soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how precious one soul is. John 3:16. And something else, how many people were involved in sinful activities when the earthquake, for example, hit in Haiti? And when one was caught, you know, off guard, when floodwaters came and their life was taken, just all of a sudden, they weren't prepared, some of them. We hope those that died were prepared, but you know there's so many that were not. And so how many people throughout our great country are living in sin despite God's warnings. But not only in this country, but of course in all countries. And again, all souls are worth more than all the world. Every soul, that is just one soul. We're speaking about one soul being worth more than all the world because that's what the Lord said, wasn't it? One soul is precious. And what shall a man give in exchange for it? Amen. Just one person. Now, and you see in John 5, 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Therefore, we need to be prepared for that great day when it's coming. Some people are going to want to run and hide. What good's that going to do? You can't hide from God, none of us. The point is to be prepared for that great day. Yes, in 2 Thessalonians, let's notice chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Do we all understand what the inspired Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Christ in Thessalonica? We need to be prepared, and we can rest. Yes, in the sense of knowing we have salvation as long as we're faithful in the Lord's church. But if we're not faithful in the Lord's church, then we need to understand our present situation, that we're unprepared to meet the Lord when he returns. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We better be ready, because we're going to appear unless we're unaccountable. And if we're listening to the, and, you know, to the program and preaching this as I am, we're accountable. Yes, we know that. Now, Philippians 1, 20 through 23, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So yes, as the Apostle Paul is bringing out here, he is ready to die. And thus, this is another lesson. Since we cannot be sure of our next breath, let alone of tomorrow, shouldn't we be concerned about preparing for eternity and getting ready for that day when we die? When that day comes, we've got to be ready. It's too late once we die. It's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. But you see, Paul was ready. But as long as he was living, he was magnifying Christ in his body. But to die was gain. Paul understood that. And that needs to be our attitude, because that's far better to be with Christ. And as you go to 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, now notice this. Paul writing to the young evangelist Timothy before he was executed. As secular history tells us, he was beheaded in Rome. But notice 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew what was coming. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them and also that love his appearing. So let's be ready. And another lesson, as we are moved to tears by the graphic shots of the victims and the devastation of their homes, yes, and that terrible earthquake situation, and all these tragedies, one after another, the 13 coffins returning to the States, as we're, pricked in our hearts watching this, let us ask ourselves, do we allow our hearts to be pricked by the Word of God? For this is very vital for our eternal destiny. If our hearts are not pricked by the Word of God, we're not going to be prepared, is the point. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. We have to receive the Word with meekness, with a ready heart, with a humble mind. Now, another lesson. As Christians, do we earnestly think about how Jesus suffered and died for us, especially when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper? And we need to think about that really daily, do we not? And so, as we think of another lesson, do we not all want to see all those in need to be comforted and helped, and of course, to see everyone leave Afghanistan safely? But what about our being prepared and wanting to teach a lost soul the gospel of Christ? Or being prepared to defend the truth? Paul was, Philippians 1:17. Jude wrote about earnestly contending for the faith, verse 3. Yes, let's preach the word. Teach the word. In season and out of season. That's right, 2 Timothy 2:2-4, notice. But something else. Let us not only unite as Americans in sending relief aid, providing food, clothing, and shelter to our fellow Americans and our Haitian and Afghanistan friends, but unite as God's people to submit to the authority of Christ and glorify God in all that we say and do. Yes, Colossians 3:17. And let us never, never, never blame God, but be involved in overcoming our suffering, helping others who are suffering. Christians should not think that God will guard them from any and all suffering. That's not going to happen. Study John 16:33, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But God is not to be blamed, as we've studied. And let us apply these lessons that we've learned and get out the good news. Yes, we all need the good news, the gospel of Christ. And let's be prepared to meet God. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, we stand ready to assist you. And we thank you so much for listening today.